Ocean FM.
Chach, good day, Arts Northwest. You're very welcome to Arts Northwest. Myself, Brendan Murray, broadcasting from the Glen Centre with Mark Gavin on sound here. On this week's show, we're going to hear the third and fourth parts of tunes from around the world with Austrian fiddler Claudia Schwab. And we'll have an interview with an incoming theatre practitioner to the Arts Northwest scene, Jay Ryan, who has hit fame and maybe not a huge amount of fortune, because we know that's not out there at the moment, with a wonderful children's TV series called Living with the Fairy.
Welcome back to Tunes from Around the World with myself, Claudia Schwab. And we've been to Ithaca in New York, then went over to Valparaiso in Chile. And we're going to spin on tonight all the way to Ramormi in New South Wales, Australia, where I'm going to have a virtual tune with up-and-coming folk roots rocker Talara Connors. Talara won Best EP at the 2017 Australian Roots Music Awards, which was the first step to an indie career that achieved a million streams on Spotify in 2018. She's performed at some of Australia's largest and most respected music festivals, such as Woodford Folk Festival, Queenscliff Music Festival, Bendigo Blues and Roots Festival, and has supported renowned artists such as Wallace Bird, Donovan Frankenreiter, as well as Aussie folk legends The Waves, Jeff Lang, Troy Cesar Daly and Mia Dyson. Her follow-up release is set for September of this year, and she's released two singles recently. So 16 Seconds is one of them, and Let This Go is the second one. I had the pleasure of getting to know Talara a few years ago through the ethnomusic community centred around Slovenia, where we played and learned some folk tunes together and had some mad times with all these amazing musicians from all over the world. So I'm really delighted to connect and play with her again, if from a huge distance this time.
Hey, how's it going? It's Talara here. I'm a folk roots artist from Australia. And thanks very much, Claudia, for having me. It's an absolute pleasure. This is a song of mine called 16 Seconds. I released this one a couple of months ago online and has a music video as well. And basically, it's about being in the early stages of a relationship and you're not really sure where it's headed, and maybe it's going to be I love you, or maybe it's going to be it's over. So it's kind of like involuntarily sitting on the fence. And it's called 16 Seconds. I hope you enjoy.
I'm waiting by my phone. I can't tell you. I just want to be alone. And would you tell me if you didn't want to see me? And would I even know it?
It's a great pleasure to welcome Jay Ryan onto Arts Northwest. Jay is a theatre practitioner who originally from Dublin was based a long time in Galway, a stalwart of the scene there in Galway, but with a particular emphasis on children's theatre. And he's had his own company, Pignut Productions. And Jay has recently completed two successful seasons on RT Junior with Living with a Fairy, which is a wonderful, magical setup. And Jay has moved to the Sligo area. You're very welcome, Jay.
Jay. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Before we get to why you took the decision to move to Sligo, maybe you'd tell us about the scene in Galway and your activities there over 20 years, I'd say, or more, was it?
Oh, yeah, 20 years, actually even more. Jeez, I started in Galway in 96, long time ago. Started in GYT, Galway Youth Theatre. Got involved in that, and then I started doing plays and workshops, which there seemed to be plenty of back then anyway. And actually, 20 years ago this year, I started in the Gaiety School of Acting. That's where I trained.
Right, in Dublin, obviously, and you did the
in Dublin, yeah, the full-time course.
The 2 years in that, and you decided to move back to Galway.
Well, I actually decided to do a puppet making and manipulation course in Dublin in Bull Alley, just straight after the Gaiety School. I did that. I did the puppet course. I thought it would be something interesting, you know. And when I finished that, go on.
You've carved out quite a niche in children's theatre, haven't you?
Yeah. I tell you, you know, years ago I was doing a play called The Seagull by Chekhov. And I was the first one out on stage. I used to sit out on the stage and I used to look out at the audience. And they used to look back at me, you know. And for some reason or another, I thought there was no interaction. We were just staring at each other, you know. And I think I decided to try something different. And I decided I'd try children's theatre, you know, to produce work and work for children. And what I loved about working for children is they talk to you. The audience is alive and well, you know.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you what they're thinking. And I really loved that. I love that because for me, it kind of drives me and the show, and it kind of has an edge to it.
Great. So then you started Pignut Productions, which...
I started Pignut Productions with Niamh McGrath. Niamh did some of the puppet workshop, and suppose it was one year of a course, you know. And we ended up with puppets, basically. And we said, look, why don't we do a show? And we'll go around to schools in Mayo, around Mayo. And so we got these puppets together and we took a picture of them. We sent out a letter, because this was before internet or Facebook or anything, you know. We sent out a letter to schools in Mayo. Didn't think we'd hear much of it. And suddenly, we start getting booked for a show that we didn't have. No show, we booked it, but no show. No set or anything. Jeez, we were panicking.
Yeah, exactly.
Folks, it's the mind. So there we are. We're in rehearsing this show, which, unlike acting, we were kind of, for us, holding objects in our hands and putting them up and trying to make a story. And we thought, this is going to be dreadful. The children are going to, hey, this is a terrible idea. It's a terrible show. But when we were saying that, the phone was ringing and ringing, and people were booking more and more shows.
Right. And I mean, you did a very unusual thing. I think Ireland's only flea circus, which was a very interesting
project. Yeah. That was a couple of years later. A few years later then, yeah. With the economic crash, I kind of started to think about what was around in the 1930s, you know, when there was an economic crash. And flea circus popped into my mind, and I always thought it was a kind of a funny thing, you know. So, yeah, I got my own flea circus. Highly trained fleas. And I did it.
So your work has evolved and developed. I mean, you know, it's multifaceted now. As you say, you've worked with puppets, you've worked with a flea circus.
Please.
You know, you're very physical in your as an actor. You wouldn't be hugely reliant on narrative, vocal narrative. It's through the body you tell your stories with words, obviously, as well. But then out of that then came this series with RTE, Living with an Angel.
Living with a fairy, yeah.
Living with a fairy, yeah. But who needs angels? Yeah, sorry.
Who needs angels?
Living with
the fairies are on the go. Well, I tell you, I also do workshops in schools. I do puppet making workshops in schools when we could, before COVID. And to keep the junior infants and senior infants quiet during the workshop, because they were the kind of hardest to work with, I used to tell them there was a fairy in the car. But she came at me, and if you're really quiet, she might come into the room.
Very good.
And of course, they'd be all excited. And then they'd start to ask me questions. And I love making stories up on the spot. So I started just making up random stories. What antics the fairy got up to. And anyway, I put that into a bit of a storytelling session. And started doing it. I was up the north, and I said, listen, I do this thing with fairy story. The fairy show we're talking about. A fairy that lives with me. And will we try it? And the woman says, yeah. So she had booked the flea circus and she'd booked puppet shows and different things. So I said, we'll do this for the last. And we were in a little venue. It was kind of a little hut. And I opened the door, not expecting too many people there. There was about 40 or 50 people outside.
Brilliant.
Wanting to come in and listen to the story. Anyways, a good friend of mine, Andy Smith, he's a cameraman. And he said, do you have anything we could show RTE? Because we could put into it. And I said, well, I do this storytelling thing. So we made a little promo of it. And they loved it.
It is a lovely show. So that's been running over the last couple of years on RT Junior.
We've done
currently been broadcast, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been brought, there's 30 episodes. And somebody told me it's in Germany, or my sister, somebody told me that they've seen it in Germany as well. But I don't know much about that. But anyway, yeah, there's 30 episodes.
So the royalties aren't rolling in Deutschmarks, no?
No, not at the moment. Not going to me, anyway.
But you mentioned well done on the success of that. You mentioned earlier, like during the recession, when you were forced to think outside the box. So we're now, you moved to Sligo, and probably Galway is outrageously expensive, and the scene has kind of changed there, I suppose, in a lot of ways. What prompted you to come to Galway? I mean, I know there were personal reasons that you had a child and all that.
I was dragged, kicking and screaming.
Right, but this opens, you know, a new vistas for you, I suppose. But then, you know, when you had an idea to make a show, because you love the live interaction, and post-COVID, of course, there will be a great demand for live shows, but it has kind of held things up. But it compared to, say, when the crash came and the COVID thing, I mean, you know, again, as we know, the whole art scene has been decimated. That's tough. So like a lot of people, you've had to go and do some work, if you like, on the side. But you are hoping to develop this show.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I think it's a different beast, this COVID. Now we know that it's just it's fallen off a cliff edge.
Sure.
You know, it ceased any live shows. But it's also a bit of downtime, I suppose, to think about shows and to kind of refocus for me anyway, you know, I'm doing acting
class.
Sure,
and maybe hit the ground running in 2021 when hopefully...
Well, I have a belief now that people will want live shows and live interactions.
For sure,
you know?
For sure.
And yeah, I want to develop, I am developing Living with a Fairy to go live, you know, to do a bigger live show.
Great. Well, the very best of luck and welcome to the Northwest art scene, Jay Ryan, and congratulations on the wonderful success of Living with a Fairy, which goes out on RT Junior. I really recommend anybody with kids, particularly children. It's a very, very special, magical piece. Jay Ryan, many, many thanks, and we look forward to talking to you again when your show gets out there nationwide.
We'd love to talk. Can't wait. We can't. Well, not too far away. Not that far away.
Great stuff. Love your optimism.
Okay.
Cheers.
Cheers. Take care. Good night.
Tonight's feature of Tunes from Around the World will bring us to India, and it's my great honour to introduce to you my Indian classical violin teacher, Patet Sukhdev Parasad Mishra, all the way from Banaras, Varanasi. I met Sukhdev for the first time in 2008 during my first trip to India, when I started to take in violin lessons with him. Sukhdev Mishra has been an unparalleled ambassador of Hindustani North Indian classical music for over 25 years. He comes from the musical family of the famous Banaras Gharana lineage, and he's the son of late Patet Bhagwan Das Mishra, who was an expert both in sarangi and tabla. Like his father, Sukhdev Mishra is an expert in two disciplines. He is adept in vocal music, for which he received training from his uncle late Patet Narayan Das Mishra, and in addition he's mastered the violin, which he learned initially from his elder brother Patet Somnath Mishra. On the violin, he describes himself as an experimentalist, so constantly exploring new techniques, developing his own unique style. He has received multiple Indian awards and has released over 25 CDs and cassettes. In addition of his work with renowned artists across India, he travels to Europe once a year and has performed at renowned venues such as La Fête de la Musique in Switzerland, the Unicorn Theatre and BBC Radio in London, and the Theatre of Music in France. In this recording, his brother Kishore Kumar Mishra joined him on tabla in their house in Varanasi.
Hello, Namaste. My name is Sukhdev Prasad Mishra. I belong from Banaras, the musician family of Banaras Gharana in India. And I record this music, and it's so beautiful. I hope you will all like that. And this composition is composed in Raga Mishrapilu. That is a beautiful raga. And I wish all the best. And I am very happy that I record this for my very good student Claudia. And thank you very much. And enjoy.
Thank you.
Wonderful stuff there from Claudia Schwab, Austrian fiddler based in Sligo. Part of her Tunes from Around the World, which she did on behalf of the Glen Centre during the lockdown period, linking up with old friends and musicians she knows from all over the world. Fantastic stuff. And next week in the final two parts, she'll be coming from Bulgaria and the wonderful kingdom of Mali in West Africa, which truly is a hotbed of musical influence on the world music scene. So really looking forward to that. So tune in again next week, folks. Shina Wildead on Shocks and Show, Webshow Brendan Murray. Like to thank our sponsors, Pubble, the Arts Council, Leitrim County Council, Mark Gavin on Sound. We will be repeating this show, as ever, on Sundays at 8 o'clock. And we're also available on podcast on all platforms through Ocean FM. Slán live.